Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and we're coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and this is the backyard. So welcome to the Labrish, and wherever you're listening, whether online or calling in, I know that for most of the United States, it's been cold. Just as it is here in my hometown of Atlanta. But tonight I want you to pretend or dream or whatever that you're under your favorite fruit tree in your backyard or front porch or in your garden like you were when you were young and in Jamaica and feel the trade winds just caressing your cheeks. Isn't it cool? I love it. Well, as you know, we're all riled up with the Olympics. So our show tonight, we're going to, you know, the old timers like me can remember when we didn't have TV and we hardly had radio, but we in Jamaica were getting in the mood for the Olympics. Because long before most of you were born, and as a matter of fact, it was exactly almost 30 years, 38 years before our famous Usain Bolt was born. We were making headlines in the Olympics. So we're going to talk a little bit about the old timers tonight, and we're also going to talk about the current gold medalist and those that are vying for a medal. So tonight I have a special co-host with me that I'd like to welcome to the show. And if she'd hit one on her phone, I will welcome her to the backyard. So here we go. Not yet. I'm having a little technical difficulty. So good evening. Who do I have with me? My mystery.
Beth.
Hi, Beth. Welcome back to the backyard. How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you. It's been a while, and it's certainly quite unusual to be on with you, but it's a pleasure also.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I see we have callers from 613-451. And I want to remind our callers online, I want to apologize again for not being able to interact with you. But I want to also let you know that I appreciate you very much. And thanks for being so supportive. And if you want to call into the show, you'll have to get you can still be on your computer, but you have to get your phone and dial 718-766-4558, and I'll be happy to just plug you into the Labrish, because that's what we do here once a week on a Wednesday, and it's very entertaining and enlightening for me, because if everyone don't know yet, I'm sure that you, if you've been here, you know that I'm a senior's senior. That means I'm old. But I have so much fun just reminiscing and researching what happened when I was growing up, when I was young, on the island. So in the backyard, and Backyard Labrish is dedicated to celebrating, enlightening, and preserving the wonderful, rich culture of Jamaica. So again, Beth, I want to welcome you and all our callers online, and to tell you that if you want to interact with us, because that's what a Labrish is, please hit 1 on your phone, and I'll be glad to open up the mic to you so you can let your voice be heard to the rest of the world. So, Beth,
Margaret,
I want to thank you for joining me on the show. And I don't know when you were born, but I remember when we were celebrating in Jamaica, as I said, because Herb McKinley broke the first time we were really recognized anywhere is when he broke the world record for the 100 meter. And I noticed, I don't know if some of the current Jamaicans even know of that event. That was not, it was 1947. He was not actually at the Olympics. But before I start, I just want to read a comment that, you know, a lot of my material comes from the Jamaica Heritage that was put together by Oliver Sr. And on the athletics, this is what she had to say. Jamaica's prominence in international athletics is completely out of proportion to its size. For instance, at the Seoul Olympics in 1988, Jamaica was the only country other than West Germany to make all 4 relay finishes for men and women. There are so many things that we excel in when it comes to sports. And when people think of how tiny we are, just a dot on the map, I think most Jamaicans, it didn't even really sink in then. I remember when Herb McKinley broke the world record in 1947. You know, back then we didn't have TV, we didn't have the internet, we weren't Twittering, we were just listening on our old-fashioned radios. Now, I wonder if anyone knows. Beth, would you help me out here? What were we going to say tonight about the old-time people?
Well, just that we think we know the Jamaican, all the Jamaican Olympians, but can anyone take us? Well, also we're identifying that Jamaica has had an Olympian just about in every single decade, starting with the 1940s.
Right.
Which is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. I was so intrigued. Now, I remember, you know, some of these events when I was growing up in Jamaica. But, you know, I'd sort of forgotten about it, and I got caught up to when Bolt was did so well.
Right.
And since we're having Olympics now, and we're the Olympics now, and we're so fortunate to have some Jamaicans, and not born there, but carrying the flag, that I thought it would be quite appropriate to do a show about the past and bring it up to the present. So I'd like to let everybody know, I don't know if how many people might remember or how many people knew, but we had 2 medals in 1948. Were you aware of that, Beth?
Not in 1948. Actually, we seem to go back a little bit farther than that, but no, I was not aware of that, and I'm looking on this list. We had someone in 1939 as well.
Oh, really? Well, tell me about that person.
Well,
won a medal?
He's an Olympian. They just have him listed. His name is Paul Foreman.
Uh-huh.
He's a member of the West Indies Federation, and under athletics, which is usually track and field, in 1939 he was an Olympian, and that
I'm not quite sure what else there is to know about him, but it's really interesting. And
1839. Wow. I wasn't even aware of that one. I sort of remember, you know, the event in 1948 because I was around at that time. And I was around in 39 too, but I think I might have been too young to know that. And what was his name again?
It's Paul Foreman.
Paul Foreman. Interesting. And they didn't state what he did?
No, I don't have the details.
Okay, and do you have anything else between that and 48?
No, that was it, actually.
Interesting, very interesting. Now, McKinley actually broke the world record in 1947, but there was I don't remember what the event was, but in 1948, there was an Olympics was held in London. And he won medals for the 200 meter and the 400 meter. And he took the silver for the, he entered in both of those, but he got the silver medal for the 400 meter. And he was beaten by another Jamaican that got the gold. Do you happen to know who that was? Beth? Yes, Arthur Wint.
Ah.
So if you have to be beaten, isn't it great to be beaten by a brother?
Indeed.
Yes, so that year we had the silver and the gold for the 400 meter.
Mm.
Now, following that in Helsinki in 1952, now do you have any years between 48 and 52 on your list?
I don't.
Okay. Well, in 1952, we had a silver for the, say, again, for the 200 and the 400. George Rodney won the gold. And in the relay, we also had a medal in the relay. And it was McKinley, Wint, Lang, and somebody else. I can't read it in my writing here. So, you know, it's almost like every Olympic, as far back as that, we were breaking records and setting standards. And I'm telling you, it just goes to show that we're little but we're Talawa. Now, what other years do you have that is mentioned on your documentation?
And I am trying to go through this. Let me just say, I went through, because I knew you were going to be talking about Olympians, which, of course, we should mention is also very appropriate because it's Black History Month.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was just astounded at the under Olympic athletes of Jamaica. Just about every, it was alphabetized, and I was just amazed at the number of athletes through the different periods. So I'm looking more at some of the names and less of the years that they were about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much. I think you have more of the periodic information than I do.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, as I said, we won the relay in 1952 in Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
And in Los Angeles, we also had Donald Quarry, who was the first male sprinter to earn a medal in his fifth Olympics. So by 1984, he had been in the Olympics five times. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I'm telling you. Now, in 1968, Lennox Miller won the silver in the 100 meter.
Right, I remember Lennox Miller.
And in 1996, his daughter, Inger Miller, won a relay. She won on gold for the USA. She was running for the USA at that particular year. But I don't know that a lot of Jamaicans know that a father and daughter were both medal winners. You know what I mean? Just the father was in 68 and the daughter was in 96. I wonder what happened to some of those people. I don't know if they're living abroad or they're still alive or anything like that. There was not a lot of information really about them, you know, after these things. And it would be interesting if any of our listeners know anything about any of these names that we're calling, if they would just put their hands up. I see that we have quite a few listeners on the board tonight, and again, I want to welcome you to the backyard. We have someone from, a few people from 973, from 631. And of course, by the way, Beth, you want to tell the world where you're calling in from?
I'm calling in from Georgia, actually, from Snellville, Georgia.
Oh, you're a Georgia peach.
Georgia peach.
All right. I like to tell everybody I'm a Georgia prune.
Oh, my. Anyone that tells you does not believe that, so I wouldn't bother.
Oh, well, it's the truth. I'm certainly not a peach. That's for sure. Oh, boy. So who else do you have to tell us about from your sheet?
Well, I want to go back. You remember we thought that we had representation from every decade except the 70s, but Corey was also, Corey medaled in 1976 in the 200 meters.
Mm-hmm.
In Montreal.
Mm.
So that's, you know, and of course, in the Pan American Games, I don't think we're limiting this to just the Summer Olympics, because there are so many other really important sporting events that, you know, our athletes participate in, like the Pan American Games and the Commonwealth Games, and some of these athletes that we may mention this evening, they may not have medaled in the Summer Olympics, but certainly they distinguished themselves in a number of these events throughout the world. So I just thought that would be something interesting to note.
Well, do you know that we even took a bronze medal for cycling in 1980 in Moscow?
I'm not surprised.
Isn't that something?
Okay.
And I don't know if a lot of our listeners, you know some of this information. And, of course, you know, we have listeners who come by later on. And I want to tell the listeners on the board that if they have friends that they would think would be interested in any of our shows, you know, all you have to do is send them the link, and they can really find a particular show on Blog Talk Radio, when it was aired, because we air every week, and we're lavishing about something of interest. I always try to tell our listeners, you know, it's not a political platform. We're not here to say who's wrong, who's right. We're not here to talk about all the bad things that are happening in the world, especially Jamaica. We're here to celebrate all the good, positive things, because we got a lot of those. And I just don't think we really celebrate them enough. You know, like anything else, whatever we give energy to grows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my desire that as you come to visit us each week or whenever you do, you will just help us to celebrate, send out good thoughts to all the good things and the great people that we have produced that have been famous all over the world. And we have really contributed not only in sports but in science and in different ways. And as you say, Beth, we are also celebrating History Month. And this is part of our history. Part of our history is that we have always excelled, you know, in various disciplines. And last year during History Month, I was amazed by the amount of information that I was able to gather about, you know, different things that happened, you know, in 18 this and early 19s. That was just mind-boggling. So I can invite our listeners that are interested or keen about history to just go in our archives, and you will find some very, very interesting information. Now, let's go back to what's happening with our Olympians. So we had a set of ladies. I think it was, I talked about Donald Quarry in 1984, right? In 1968, we had Lennox Miller, who won a silver in the 100 meters, too. Did I say that already?
Mentioned Lennox.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and listen to this. In 1948, four women made the final. Cynthia Thomas, Vinton Beckett, and Catherine Russell, and Carol Phipps, it looks like, P-H-I-P-P-S. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yep.
We're being informed this evening.
Yes.
In addition, I want to just talk about the diversity. In addition to the diversity of the team, let me just mention some of the sports that some of our Olympians participate in. Athletics, of course, everybody knows track and field is our event. But we've participated in shooting, in swimming, table tennis, basketball, sailing, fencing, weightlifting, boxing. I mean, we're everywhere doing everything.
In the Olympics?
Yes, and it's just
I didn't even get that far. That's wonderful.
It really, really is. It's the diversity of who we are and
mm-hmm.
what we do. Isn't
that interesting? Because, you know, when we talk about, as you say, how diverse we are, you know, because we came from different places.
Right.
And the out of many, one is so appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just hoping that the young, part of my passion about doing this platform is the fact that, you know, it will be here long after we are gone, and that the present Jamaicans, the young people of the nation now, and the people in the diaspora of the children of Jamaicans, you know, wherever they are, whatever part of the world, can get a feel for what life was like when, for instance, my generation and your generation, Beth, grew up.
Right.
And I love this format because, you know, we have so much information about people from the past that is so interesting, but they never wrote it, you know, and they never spoke it.
Right.
Other people that would research and write about them. And it's just a difference when you express yourself. So I invite my callers to let their voice be heard. You know, even just put up your hand, tell us where you're listening, tell us if you like the show, what you like about the show, you know, what would you like us to do more of, or you might have something to contribute. Now, I must say that I have some very loyal fans, I would call them, because I have... especially one lady, Bessie, I don't know if she ever listens, but she sends me so much wonderful material that I'm able to use, you know, from time to time, or it gives me ideas of what I can talk about. So I also want to ask our listeners to visit www.backyardlabrish.com because you can get some additional information there, and you can leave me a comment. You can leave it also on the website if you listen on Blog Talk Radio. They have a means for you to do that.
Right. And in the meantime, Margaret.
Excuse me?
In the meantime, I think we'd love to hear. I know we've been tossing out some of the more commonly known names who are Jamaican Olympians, but if there is anybody out there who knows of anyone else that we have not yet mentioned, share it with us. You know, they don't have to stop the line. Just call us and let us know that maybe there's a name out there that they know of that they don't think we have on our list and that we're not aware of. I'd love for them to share it with us. But in the meantime, Margaret, you want to share some of the other perhaps lesser-known names, even though we may not have so much information about them.
Right. Well, what I want to say is that one of my favorite fans from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, as he always introduced himself, he's not on the board tonight, but he told me that he happened to live in the Bronx, I know, and he told me that there was a Beecham, I think that's his last name, who lived in the same complex where he was, that was an Olympian. I was not able to find any information to him on Wikipedia or on the Internet, but, you know, that's fairly new. I don't know. This must be a senior person. So if anyone is on the board that knows anything about that name, Beecham, would they just raise their hand and sort of enlighten us? Because that's part of what we do here on the Backyard, enlighten. Remember, celebrate, enlighten, and preserve. Now, preserve is in the fact that this show will be in cyberspace forever. I just love it. So it means that your children and grandchildren and can go by, you know, and listen. Listen to your voice, listen to your information, listen to your ideas. Because, you know, as you know, Beth, we all can read something and we get a different message from it. Or we all can be in the same activity and you describe it differently.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to be the only one that is putting my twist on this preservation of information. I would like for the rest of the world to interact. So if you know someone that likes to talk or don't mind sharing, please tell them to call in or ask them to write me. I'd be more than happy to have them talk to us on the show. You know, this, as I say, is not political. We're not even politically correct because in the backyard we just labrish. And a lot of foreigners don't know what that means. And I have to say to them, now a labrish is not a gossip. A labrish is getting together with friends to talk about just about anything that is interesting to the group. Is that a correct description of a labrish, Beth?
I think it is. And more importantly, it's an exchange. And so that's why we're always inviting our listeners to come in and exchange with us, labrish with us.
Thanks.
If we're just talking, we're talking. But if other people call in, then we're truly labrishing.
You know that's right. Okay. So now I have on my papers here that, listen to this, in 1947, McKinley was the first person from an English-speaking country to set a world record. Isn't that something for the 400 yards?
Wow.
And he did it in Berkeley, California in 47. And, you know, a lot of things were happening here in 47. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And here is this Jamaican young man who was breaking the world record, first from an English-speaking country. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome, and we have not looked back.
Mm-hmm. We have so much to be proud of, you know, as a nation. And I mention all the time that if the Jamaicans living in the diaspora would just help me to just remember and concentrate on all the positive things, you know, then a lot of some of the negative things wouldn't get so much press and wouldn't get circulated so much because, you know, we have some of that floating around. That is not to say it's not happening. I'm just saying we don't have to celebrate it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when it's bad behavior.
And especially when there's so many other wonderful things that we can spend our time on.
Right. Definitely. So now, in 1988, Grace Jackson and Juliet Culbert got silver medals. And in 1992, Devon Hemmings. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Do you have him on your sheet?
Yes, I do. It's Dion Hemmings.
Dion Hemmings. So he shined in 1992 and also in 1996. Is she, right? It's a girl.
I'm not sure.
Dion? Sounds like a girl's name.
Well, it's the way it's spelled.
In Atlanta. She was here. She won the 400 hurdle.
Okay.
She was in the hurdles, and she got a medal for the hurdles.
That's interesting.
No, she was in the finals. I don't think she got a medal. It doesn't say here, but she was in the finals. So there again, most of the information that is available is mostly from Wikipedia, which, you know, is written by people.
Right.
And they're always asking for people to add to it.
And Margaret, let me just interrupt for a second. She, in 1996, she did, she medaled, and she got a gold medal.
Oh, she did? Oh, yes, I see that on my other paper. What happened in 1992? Was there something about her in 1992?
No, I don't have any. She did not medal from what I am. I'm aware in 92. The information for her goes back to 93 in Toronto in the World Indoor Championship.
Uh-huh.
She medaled again in the 4x400 meter relay.
Right.
And in 95 in Gothenburg, she won a bronze medal in the World Championship for the 400. So 400 meters and the 4x400 seem to be her event.
Right.
In 97 in Athens, she medaled as a bronze medalist in the World Championships in the 4x400 meter relay.
Mm-hmm.
In 97, as I said, in Athens, she got a silver medal in the World Championship. So in the Olympic Games, she got in 2000 a silver medal in Sydney for the 400-meter hurdles, and another silver for the 4x400-meter relays in the Olympics. So her Olympic events, the summer Olympic events, are 1996 and 2000, but she has been around since and medaling since 1993.
It would be so interested to find out, you know, where some of these people are. Are they still on the island? You know, are they living in another part of the world? I think it would be so great to have a reunion of all these people that have really represented us in the Olympics. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be wonderful. To at least know where they are. Most of them, though, I think, do live abroad. I think in a number of instances, a lot of them actually would go home just for the event because they would be either in England or here going to school or in Canada, but during the Olympics they would go back to Jamaica and participate, or they would participate as a Jamaican. So I think a lot of them are living abroad.
So are you saying that is going on now since we've been independent, that they have sort of reunions?
I don't know if they have reunions. I just know that they're about, and, you know, I think they know where they are, each other is.
Oh, okay.
They gather, and I don't know if the country has done anything to bring them together.
Right. Well, I hope that's one of our listeners that might have some influence will take that idea and run with it.
Absolutely.
Because I think it would be so good, you know. I mean, some of them have passed away. I know that. You know, McKinley and Wint, I think, aren't here anymore. But what I'm saying, I think it would be so neat for the old ones, you know, to meet the new ones.
Yes, to see them.
And I think
absolutely.
It would be inspiring for that. I think they should have an alumni or something, you know, where the ones that are living abroad, that might have participated in the 40s and 50s and 60s or whatever could really be a lot of examples and sort of mentors for the new ones and the current ones and the aspiring ones. Because I think seniors have to learn to reach out to the young people. You know, we can't, a lot of times we don't agree with the style or we're not familiar with the way they are or whatever. But I think it's important for us to embrace them, even in their change, you know, even if they're not doing things exactly the way we did it.
Right.
You know,
and I think
it's different.
I think that's the biggest challenge. I think the seniors, and I'm speaking very generally now, are always willing to reach out. I think a lot of times our young people are not necessarily receptive, and that becomes the bigger challenge, is to get them. They're respectful, but I'm not sure they're receptive because they think it's a different time, we're doing things differently, and so that could become the challenge. But if anyone has the former Prime Minister, Prime Minister's ear, she is, I think she was also the Minister of Sports in Jamaica. I think that would be a great influential person to pull this reunion that you're thinking about together.
Oh,
that
would be so cool. It would really, really be cool. I see we have a raised hand, so let me open up the mic. Just a minute. Good evening. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret and Beth. Who do we have?
This is Donna Robinson.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Hi, Miss Donna.
Hey, I was just listening in, and I was thinking, you know, I don't know if Jamaica has a general hall of fame, but, you know, to have a hall of fame that would, you know, be a dedication to the athletes, and what, you know, a great way to bring young and old athletes together and have an opportunity for them to, you know, start to feature the older athletes and the, you know, legendary ones, and then, of course, nominations for, you know, for new ones. And I was just thinking about something. I don't know if you all have realized it, but in every sport now, be it basketball or football, you know, Bolt, you know how Bolt, when he would run and he stops and he puts his arms up and he points up kind of to the lightning bolt? All of the athletes are doing it now.
Ah, and remember, I remember doing a segment of a show after that to say how, you know, sometimes our gestures or our comments, you know, how we phrase things, because there's such a cultural difference, could be misunderstood. And I think at the time when he did it, it was misunderstood, you know, by some people. I don't know if you remember that, Donna.
I vaguely remember you speaking on it.
Right,
and,
right.
But
no, it's just interesting to know that, you know, other athletes are doing it.
When they just had the one of the all-star type games, and when they did the bath, you know, they made the shot. One of the guys, like, pointed up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they're not just doing it with that. I saw someone in the Olympics point up like that with the Winter Olympics. And I was like, wait a minute. Everyone's picking this bolt
that's
up bolt and making
move.
The bolt, you know.
Yeah.
He might need to have some new sneakers with the bolt on them, you know, but just pointing up.
that's funny. Well, you know, we've always been trendsetters. I mean, in the music and the food and everything. It's really something. Here again, Miss Beth with Little But with Talawa.
Hi, Donna. I just wanted to answer your original comment. There is a Caribbean Hall of Fame. It's actually called the Central American and Caribbean Athletics Confederation Hall of Fame. It's quite a mouthful. But so there is such a place that
is that in Jamaica?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So we just have to get them to do a real big reunion. I read about something that some of the older athletes attended. I think it was, there's a news clip about it with the Gleaner company. I think I saw something there.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking that, you know, that you have so many names, different names, don't you, Beth, on your sheet?
Yes, there. And people I had never heard of, and I consider myself pretty informed. I was very surprised to see the number of people, and I was quite surprised. I did not recognize most of these names.
You want to share some of the names with us?
Sure, and I can go alphabetically because it's.
Excuse me, Beth. We're having sort of an echo. Would you turn down the mic that's near to you? There's a like a double talk. I'm hearing on my end. Okay.
Is that better?
That's better. Thank you.
Let me start off. We have Katrina Allen, Katie Anderson, and he's from Canada but of Jamaican descent, Derek Atkins. Let me go back here.
These are all participants in the Olympics.
Right.
Okay.
And, Marlon Anderson. Sanjay Air, I'd never heard of this young man, and he's relatively young, which I thought was interesting. I think he went to University of Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Aileen Bailey, Kimberly Barrett. If anybody out there has ever heard of these people, we would love to hear from you. Allison Beckford, James Beckford, Claxton Bernard, Michael Blackwood. Let's see, Trevor Graham, Winthrop Graham, Michael Green, Dean Griffiths. Have you ever heard of any of these people?
Never.
Margaret?
No.
Howell? It's amazing. I was just fascinated at the number of, and the list just goes on and on. And, of course, in that list, you have the regulars, Usain Bolt, Sherri-Ann Brooks, Asafa Powell, the people that we know, Don Quarry, of course. But these people, I had never, Juliet Campbell, of course, she went to Manchester, I believe. But it's Veronica went to Manchester, Veronica Campbell Brown. But I had not heard of a lot of these people, and I can tell you the list is exhaustive and it is extensive, and I was just delighted to see it. And the one other sport I hadn't mentioned that we participate in, and we are now actually two of our countrymen or their parents are Jamaicans, and I think they do refer to themselves as Jamaican, and they're flying the Jamaican flag, are in Vancouver as we speak.
Right. Well, talk about the bobsled team first.
Well, that was, and I think, I don't remember if it was Don Quarry. I think it was Don Quarry who may have been the anchor on that because of his running. But, yes, Jamaica was one of the first tropical countries to participate.
The only!
Well, no, since then, I think Ethiopia is now participating. I think Ghana has some.
Oh, really?
Yes, we've definitely, but we were the first.
Right.
Inspired people, and everyone who is familiar with the movie Cool Runnings know that the bobsledders were inspired that movie, and it was sort of made about their activities. And now today we have two skiers. I think one is a downhill who are in Vancouver competing in the Winter Olympics. So we are truly adverse people, and our interests and activities are quite as fascinating as we are.
And we're really trendsetters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this goes back.
I just put it out.
This really goes back you know, way back in history. You know, I mentioned Dr. Lumsden quite often on the show because, you know, she's piecing together facts about Jamaicans, both in Jamaica and abroad, in, you know, in 18 this and 18 that, that did some remarkable things. And as I say, we were not very good at keeping any historical records or even, you know, historical things, because I'm going to do another show on our rail service. You know, that was such a wonderful thing that we had in Jamaica. There's a lot of history about that and a lot of interesting information about, you know, the railway service.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, as I was trying to put it together for another show, it said that, you know, the things that were destroyed, used for scrap, were in pristine condition when it was sold for scrap. So we're not very good at, or we were not very good at keeping a lot of information or actual objects. I know that we're doing a much better job now, and because of the new technology, it's so much easier. But I am asking again for people to encourage their seniors to embrace the new technology and utilize it for some of this preservation that we want to do, you know, so that our the next generation and the generation after them can have some more meaningful, you know, it won't be so hard to find out about our times and to find out and to hear our voices and to hear our ideas, you know, whether they agree with them or not. But I think it's just important to embrace this new technology and not make it be something scary. You know, a lot of the seniors, or some of the seniors, tend to feel that, you know, either that they're not capable or it's not necessary for them or, you know, it's too big for them. But I think we need to just throw all of that out and just go for it. I know I have. I don't know what I'm doing, but at least I'm doing it. So, so Donna, how are you? Oh, she's silent, so I suppose she's busy. But anyone else on the board that wanna to join the Labrish, please hit 1 on your telephone, and I'll be glad to pipe you in, because we're letting our voices be heard here in the backyard. So, Beth, what I wanted you to do for me again is to list the different activities that you mentioned before, because I don't know if you covered all of them, but I was a little distracted when you were doing that, and I'm very fascinated by, and you're talking about Jamaicans participating in all these various events in an Olympic.
Right, and remember, this could be either the winter
or right, where it would be mostly summer, but also winter. So would you go down the list again for me, dear?
Certainly. We have athletics, which under that heading you have track and field.
Mm-hmm.
We have shooting, swimming, table tennis, basketball, which is relatively new to us, sailing. We have, hockey. Weightlifting, boxing, and, of course, skiing that I just mentioned. Skiing.
And cycling. Did they have cycling on that list? Because we won a medal for that.
I don't have cycling. I do have fencing as one of the activities.
Well, fencing, right? I didn't even know that.
Right.
Interesting.
We are doing... Now, here's a name that has just crossed my path, Byron LeBeach.
Yes, that's the one that my fan from the Bronx told me about. He is still alive and well and lives in the Bronx.
He certainly, and he's commented actually on Usain Bolt, and he's actually said, and I quote, of all the athletes that I have seen, and he is a former Olympian. I think he was an alternate member of the 4x400 relay in 1952 in Helsinki. Mm-hmm. He has said, and going back to the quote, of all the athletes that I have seen in my time, Usain Bolt ranks number one. I would put him as a new breed of athlete. I think he can do anything.
Wow. A busy yam. They thought it was something else, but it's the yam. Oh, my goodness. Well, I know that Mr. LeBeach lives in the Bronx because he's the one that I told you my fan mentioned. But I did not find any information about him at the time. And, again, I want to invite anyone on the board that want to weigh in on this elaboration and help us out here to you know, just put your hands up, and I'll be glad to open up the mic to you. So now, did you have any information on the two skiers that have they actually performed already?
I don't know. I my viewing of the Olympics has been very limited. It's Greg Samuels and Elliot Kerr.
I think one was born here of an American mother and a Jamaican father. And the other young man, I think it's Kerr, was born in England of a Jamaican
mother
and an English father.
Oh, I thought his mother was. But anyway, those are the two.
Right. And it's interesting that, you know, they met because of the sport. I think I read that someplace. And then they were really, I know the Samuels, I think, was sort of brought up both here and in traveled both places, Westmoreland. His father was from Westmoreland. And he would spend some time in Westmoreland and also in the States. I think, is it Colorado or someplace where his mother was a skier, I think. As a matter of fact, there was a picture on the Internet of her, you know, opening one of the starting gates for his practice or something, which I thought was very interesting. That both of these young men wanted to celebrate the part of their heritage that was Jamaican by, you know, performing for that country. You know, it's very commendable. And I know there are lots of children born of both Jamaican, two Jamaican parents or one, right here in the United States and all over the world. I mean, we're just scattered all over the world. And I am hoping that the people who listen to the show will send, you know, the link to their relatives wherever they may be, because they can listen to any of the shows at any time. But, you know, just the pride that we need to celebrate within ourselves about, for me personally, and I say this all the time with a lot of honesty, I'm quite old now, and I'm not going back to Jamaica to retire. But I still have that real love for my country and my culture. And I want my grandchildren to know this, because I think it's important to have some pride in who you are and where you're from. And I know that I am just so grateful that I was born and raised in Jamaica. I've spent most of my life here in the United States, the major portion of my life, and I am proud to be an American. But I am really also proud to be a Jamaican. So that is my my story, and I see we have a couple more minutes. We're only on for an hour tonight. We have a couple more minutes before we sign off, and I want to invite our listening audience again to weigh in if they'd like and put up their hands and just tell us, you know, what do you listen to the show? Why do you come by? Does anyone want to answer that question? I'm waiting for a hand. I can see you. Okay. Well, I just want you to know that I appreciate you anyhow. I appreciate you listening in silence, and I hope that one of these days you will just put up your hands and let me know who you are and let the rest of the world know who you are and what's on your mind. So, Beth, is there anything else you want to say about our wonderful celebrated artists, both those that have passed on and those that are here and those that are to come? Because I know that right now there are lots of schools in Jamaica. I was reading about that at some other time, that are really concentrating a lot, you know, on the field and track and encouraging the students to participate. You know, all of them are not going to become Olympians, but those that have the desire and the ability, I just applaud them and encourage them, you know, to stick with it because, beg your pardon?
They do. You see them every year if you go at the Penn Relays to Pennsylvania. They are there on display. Sometimes the races will have 5-6 Jamaicans just from the different schools because it's an interscholastic event, and it's quite remarkable to see the farm, if you will, or the harvest from the farm that is Jamaica. People, you're right. I think you opened up by saying people marvel at the fact that an island the size that Jamaica is, that we continue so consistently to produce Olympians year after year, decade after decade, and it's quite a remarkable feat.
And that brings me to, you know, what I have really treasured about my conversation with Professor Rex Nettleford, who we celebrated last week. He would always talk, he always talked about people, or individuals, just being striving for perfection, their own perfection, not to be a perfect person, but to do whatever they're doing, regardless of what it is, to the best of their abilities.
Mm.
You know, that was one of his passions, because I was reading about one of the current ministers, what he was saying about him and when he interacted with him. And actually, Professor Nettleford was talking about, you know, the common worker in Jamaica being knowledgeable about whatever his work was, you know, regardless of what he worked at, but being the best that he could be at that job, how important it was. And he talked about, even in his description of his art, he talked about cross-fertilization. He was just a master for putting words together that really would impact you, you know, your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that as, you know, if a person is striving for perfection, say the athletes or whatever you do, you know, that drive carries over into other parts of your life.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Just even from the point of self-esteem. And I want to really, really encourage that in our in everybody, but especially in the people who impact young people, you know, to encourage them to just pursue their own perfection. You know, you want to be good at whatever it is that is your passion, whatever it is.
Yes? Can I add something?
Pardon?
Can I add something? I just want to say that, you know, one of the reasons why I like your show is because of the pride, the Jamaican pride itself. To me, it's like really something. One of the things that I really, really admire when I come to find out about it, because as an American, you only think of Jamaicans as these Rastafarian people with, you know, this ganja. And to find that, there were Chinese Jamaicans and German Jamaicans and, you know, various types of Jamaicans. But the thing about it which was interesting for me as an American was that they were just all Jamaicans. And even though I didn't know about those various types of Jamaicans of different ethnicities, when I came to find out about them, I was like, wow, because even if they were Jamaicans, nobody just said they were Chinese Jamaicans. They just said they were all Jamaicans. And for me, being an American citizen, I always felt that, you know, it was kind of weird that everybody was, like, segregated out. And I realized that a part of it was that we had so many people from other countries coming, and so you were Irish American or Japanese American, whatever, whatever. But in reality, I felt that if you were born in America, you should just be an American, period. And it was just interesting when you began to do a lot of the history and everything that everybody was just a Jamaican. They weren't, you know, segregated out. So therefore, those on the outside never realized that there was anything other than just Jamaican people. And they assumed, based upon what was put out there, you know, in terms of commercialism, that they were all one type of Jamaican, a brown-skinned Jamaican. They never, you know, we never assumed that there was anything outside of that. And so, you know, it's been very educational for me. And, I, you know, to me, knowledge is definitely power. But the other thing that the reason why is because I just, you know, I've never been to Jamaica. I've always wanted to go. I don't really go. One of the reasons why I think that, you know, I lived in Hawaii for a while, and I've been to Hawaii back a couple of times, but one of the reasons why I don't go to a lot of other countries outside of the United States is because I always felt like, you know what, I really want someone to show me the country, and I don't want, you know, not just, you know, go as a tourist, you know, and just, you know, just go to one spot and you're just a tourist, but really show me the country, show me the people. And I'm going to tell you something that was really cool was the other day, again, I'm going back to boat again, but they had this commercial on, and he was trying to do his little running along the way, and every time he'd run, he'd sprint a little while, and he'd look at the beach, he'd sprint a little while, he'd look at the, you know, the beauty of Jamaica. Every few minutes, he had to stop and look. He says, you know, if it wasn't so beautiful, I might have been a long-distance runner. And I thought that was so cute.
Oh, yes. I just saw that commercial, too. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, well, thank you so much, Donna. Thank you for that speaking from the heart. And thank you for your support and your encouragement. Because sometimes it's good, you know, to get some how somebody else feels about the information that we share. And as I say, part of what my passion about doing this is to enlighten people all over the world about, you know, from Jamaicans talking about when they grew up or what they feel or what they know and what they don't know. So it has been very, very enlightening for me. And I am so glad to hear that, you know, somebody else feels that it has been enlightening for them. So I'm taking that very personal and thanking you for expressing that to me about the show. So I appreciate that very much. Now, Miss Beth, did you want to say anything else before we sign off?
No, I think we have had an interesting exchange, and as Donna has attested, we've imparted a bit of information, and we look forward to hearing from the listeners next week.
Yes, and I would, if anybody out there that comes by even later on that has some connection to what's going on in Jamaica, because I don't really, except for getting, I do have some fans on Facebook now that are in Jamaica, and I'm hoping that they will Skype in or whatever they do in and participate with me sometimes. I've reached out and have quite a few Jamaican friends now. Because, you know, I've been here so long, Beth, that, you know, I've lived most of my life here in the States. And some of my friends can't even imagine why I would want to be doing this now, because during my, you know, years of raising my children, all my children were born here, and I have three grandsons that are born here, too. So, but, you know, I just have this this quest for finding out more about what went on even before my time. And I know that I just love history. I'm a history buff. So I have enjoyed just trying to do the research and presenting it in my own little way, you know, as we would in a library. Because, as I say, it's not a strict platform of a particular way of doing things. We're just talking about what we love, what we want to celebrate, and passing on ideas, hopeful that the younger generation will know how we feel about our heritage.
And learn. Because I think a lot of times you said we don't celebrate in that issue, and it's because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think learning also from the exchanges is another important feature.
Right, right. So with that, I want to ask our listeners on the board and those listening online and those who may come by later on to listen, because we have a lot of those, that you would share the information with your friends that might not know about our broadcast and send them a link or invite them to come by when we're doing our live show, because we do like to see the different numbers on the board. And one of these days, I am going to be able to interact with you or have somebody interact with you if you're listening online. Because there's always people listening online, and I am not able, you know, to chat with them. But that's going to be changing pretty soon. So with that said, Donna, I want to thank you again for interacting with us. And, you know, you're always welcomed, and we'd love to have you back. But anyway, stay warm. And Beth, you want to say good night to the world?
Good night, world. Lavrish, backyard Lavrish. Come join Margaret next weekend.
Thank you so much, Beth. And as we would say in the old days, walk good.
Good.
You remember that?
I remember that.
Donna, for you who might not know that, when anybody's leaving your home, you know, to go back to where they came from, instead of bye,
uh-huh,
you would say walk good.
Walk good.
Yes, 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 yes. That's what we would say. But, you know, I don't know. I think perhaps some of the language has changed now, some of the phrases, not necessarily the language. But, you know, because everything is so, I mean, in my day, we did not have much information and much interaction with what went on in America. Mostly the BBC News, and if we went to the movie, we always saw the football. You know, the football was very important at that time to whoever, not me, because it always looked like they were huddling. I didn't even see them kicking a ball. But that was our exposure in terms of communication, you know, so... we, within the island, had certain customs, and we talk a certain way, and we use certain phrases. Now I'm saying that the kids growing up there now have access to all of the American shows, and they watch more of that than even the English shows or the local shows that they put on there. But so that how they greet and meet may have changed. I don't know that. But I know that in the old days, we would say walk good. Was that familiar to you, Beth?
Yes, yes. And I think there are people who still use that term, but as is expected, the young people have their own language, and it evolves.
Right, right.
But I'm sure they're using something that 10, 20 years from now they'll be talking about that we will have no clue about.
Right, right. But isn't it funny, because I remember that we spoke almost the same way our older people did.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Nothing much had changed unless, but there were the old people always thought that we were a little forward or, you know,
facing. And we didn't have the exposure you just said to the TV as much, and so
right, right,
of the TV.
Uh-huh.
Margaret,
but do you think that it was because, I mean, now you're saying walk good, you know, we we say drive safely. So do you think, were people like really walking a lot more?
Not necessarily. Even if they were driving, it was a way of partying, you know?
Okay,
well,
okay.
You know, in the old days, in my days, like in the 30s and 40s, and not so much the 50s, but there weren't a lot of cars in Jamaica. You know, we didn't have a lot of cars. People had cars, but it's not like, I suppose, it was here. Because I remember when I saw the first Skywriter, I was a little, you know, the plane was writing in the sky. I was in Spanish Town. I was a little girl at the time, and oh man, people thought the world was coming to an end. Oh yes, there was. We used to call them Warners. Were you familiar with who those were, Beth?
No,
listeners. Beth is a lot younger than me. I remember I lived in Spanish Town, and I remember this woman, when it started, you know, doing the thing in the sky, and you would see the clouds in formation, you know, it was writing. Mm-hmm. And it was a jet, I remember. And she would, the woman would go up on the down the street and said, the world is coming to an end. Never forgot that. As a child, I was terrified because I must have believed her. But, it's just a phrase. To go back to walk good was like, as you said, drive carefully. But I don't think people are saying drive carefully necessarily now as a, you know, a bye-bye. But,
Margaret, the other expression that is used also is go good.
Go good? No, I never heard that one.
No, and it may be just in most of the other Caribbean islands, but you do hear it. Which is the same as walk good.
Right. I got it. So, which Donna, I suppose it means be safe.
Yeah.
And in those days, and when I grew up, you didn't have anything to be worried about except Duppy. But, you know, people weren't holding up people on the street. People would walk or, you know, for miles and in the dark. And they didn't have any fear of that. But it was just a loving way of saying, you know, goodbye. So I will, for my listeners who know what walk good is, I will say walk good. And as I always say, make it a great week. Bye.